You're listening to the New Point Community Church podcast. This message is a part of our message series, Detox. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Hello, New Point. I trust that you enjoyed that extra hour of rest. Aren't you thankful for that? I'm glad that you're here. I want you to know that I love you, and I want to give a shout out to all of our campuses, those in Coshocton and Worcester and Millersburg and Canton and Dover and soon to be Cambridge. We're glad that you're here. You picked a great Sunday to be here because we're kicking off a brand new series called Detox. Detox. Now, here's my question for us. How many of us here have ever done a cleansing? Okay? You ever done one? Just raise your hand real quick, okay? All right? Some of you have. And how many of you loved it? Okay? That's probably why some of you haven't done it. Okay? You've heard stories and you're thinking, you know what? It might be good for me, but I'm not willing to go that route. But there's a lot of talk today about detoxing the body. You know, and basically it goes like this, that, you know what, there's a lot of chemicals that are in our bodies that are harmful. And we can get it through food, we can get it through the air that we breathe. And what happens is bacteria ends up building up. And many people don't realize it, but our bodies can be full of toxin. And that may be one of the reasons why you're not feeling well, because your body is taking in all of these different things and you're experiencing some form of toxin. And so what happens is this. Most experts would recommend that you go through a deep cleansing every once in a while, just for your body, just because of the environment that we live in. Most of us are not real careful in what we eat. And what they do is they'll put you on a fast, a certain type of fast, and then they will ask you to follow a certain diet, a very specific diet, and to begin to stay away, after you have been detoxed, stay away from those foods that are harmful, and that'll just bring back the toxin again and again and again. And what happens is, if you're willing to do that, you can rid your body of toxin. And you'll probably no doubt feel better. And what I want to suggest today is, in the same way that we need to detox our body, we also need to detox our mind. Because there's a lot of things that get filled up in our mind and that can bring about harm and destruction. You know, I like to say it like this, and you've heard me say this if you come here on a regular basis. You know, we're more spiritual than we are physical. But for many of us, we're more concerned about the physical than we are the spiritual. And what we have to realize is we need to be concerned about how we think, because you and I cannot act inconsistently with how we think. And if we don't detox our mind, what happens is we can end up experiencing toxic thoughts that can lead to a mind that is full of waste. And you don't want that, and I don't want that, because it'll contaminate my whole life. And so in this series, what we're going to do is we're going to look at how we can detox ourselves, okay? Not so much physically, okay, relax. But emotionally, spiritually, and mentally. And there may be times during this series, and I'm going to say this up front, but I want you to come back, okay? There may be times in this series that it may be painful, because some maybe old wounds might get reopened. And I may step on your toes. And I may even step on my own toes, and I'm sure that I will, because this is as much for me as it is for you. And as we've already learned, you're not alone. We all battle this. We all have these challenges in our life. But if you're willing to be open, if you're ready, the next 5 weeks can be a tremendous cleansing for your emotions, for your spirit, for your mental health. And I believe that with all my heart. It can be freeing. It can be life-changing. And you'll not only feel better, but here's what I promise you. You will live better. You will live better. And so we're glad that you're here, and we want to be able to help you to be able to live life and live life to the fullest. Now, the first thing that we have to do in jumping into detox, and we've got to identify the problem, because if you don't identify the problem, then you'll never have the right solution to the problem. And so we have to make sure that we get to the core issue of why we've even gotten to the point of where we are. Now, I know that's hard. It's hard for me, because if you don't know the problem, you can't solve the problem. I am completely ignorant in the area of mechanics, okay? For some of you, that's not new, okay? Or technology. I just don't get it. You know, if you ever see me alongside of the road and the hood is up and I'm looking into it, stop. Because I'm just acting like I know something, okay? I don't know anything. And it was demonstrated just a few weeks ago at one of our all-staff meetings. At one of our all-staff meetings, what we did is we did a team-building exercise of where we built bikes. And you can see it right here. We were putting together bikes. And on my team, I just want to announce, we were the last one to finish, okay? Wonder why, okay? We were the last one to finish. But one of the problems was is we really didn't understand all the problems. I think it took us about 5 to 7 minutes to even put the pedals on the bike. And you say, why? Because we thought they were just normal pedals, and there was a right pedal and a left pedal, even though they look completely alike. And somebody had to come and help us and instruct us. And see, I didn't know the problem, so I couldn't help us. I couldn't help myself. And sometimes that's the way it is in life. It's the way it is in life. It's difficult to solve a problem when you don't understand what's wrong to begin with. And I would say this. Many of us here have been trying to solve the problem of me. You've been trying to solve the problem of you. And you have a theory, but you've still lost family, you've still lost friends, you've lost a job, you've lost money, you've lost your self-esteem, because you couldn't solve you. Because you really couldn't fully identify the problem. And some of us here today, we've paid good money. We've paid lots of money to try to have somebody identify the problem and then be able to solve it for us. And maybe you can't solve it because you don't know what's wrong. Maybe you don't know the real problem. Maybe the problem is you don't know the problem. And so what I want to do today is I want us to help all of us to understand that you're not alone. If that's you, you're not alone. And there was a man named Paul. And Paul basically describe what I believe, or he's given at least a theory, okay, and I believe it's true, I believe it's accurate, of what the real problem is with me and with you and with all of us. And you say, Dwight, why would you hold so much respect, and why would you listen to Paul? Well, you know what? He hung out with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John hung out with Jesus. And they learned a whole lot of things from Jesus, and no one did life better than Jesus. He's the perfect example that we want to follow. And so what I want to do is I want to help us identify some problems by learning from Paul. Because you know what? If I don't understand the problem, I definitely can't fix it. And so you can follow along. This is in Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 16. And Paul here describes, and you know what? You may not believe everything in the Bible, but if I was a betting man, you're going to agree with this, okay? Look at what he has to say. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. You're not alone, right? I mean, all of us would say that, wouldn't we? All of us have experienced that to some level this past week. He goes on to say, and if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. Basically, what he is saying is my instructions, the word law there, my instructions, whatever that is for you, whether it's the word of God or whether it's something else, I agree what is being asked of me is the right thing. I agree that it's good. You know what? I just can't pull it off. I just can't pull it off. He goes on to say this, for I have the desire to do what is good. I have the desire to be a great husband. I have a desire to be a great leader. I have a desire to be a great father. I have a desire to be a great friend. I have a desire to be fill in the blank, okay? For I have the desire to do what is good, but I can't carry it out. Anybody here identifying? Does this resonate with anybody? For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Wow. See, he's letting us in on what the problem is. And I think that we would all agree here that, you know what, this is a big, big thing. You see, what happens is we don't really need to be told what to do. Would you agree with me? We already know what to do. The problem is, even though we know what to do, we don't do what we know we should do. Even though it costs us dearly in life. And for me just to step or stand up here and just say, stop it. Stop it. Not going to do any good. Because what you're going to say is, Dwight, I have the desire to do what is good. I just can't carry it out, man. And so here's a question for us. Why don't we just do what we are supposed to do? Good question. Good question. You see, why don't we? Because here's an interesting thing. We can train our dogs to be housebroken, but we can't train ourselves. I'm not saying you're not housebroken. I'm just saying you get the drift. We can train a horse. We can train monkeys. We can train animals to do certain things and respond in certain situations, but we can't do it for ourselves. That which I want to do, I find myself not doing. That's what Paul would say. And I think all of us would say, you know what, been there, done that. And so why don't we just do what we're supposed to do? Well, Paul gives us his solution. And this is going to be helpful. It's going to be a little bit weighty, okay? So be patient with me. But what I want to do is I want to lay out an overview for the next 4 weeks. So that what happens is we can get to the root of the problem, all right? And so here's what Paul writes. He says this, you see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, that which I want to do, I don't find myself doing, okay? I can't pull off what I want to do. I can't pull off being a great husband, a great father, a great man, a great leader. I just can't pull it off. He says, you see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Who's the ungodly? It's me. It's you. You say, really? I'm ungodly? Yeah. You see, here's what I would say. You know, if you are a person of faith, you believe that God is perfect. Right? And I'm not perfect. So I'm unlike God. God is perfect in all of his ways. And so I'm unlike God. I am ungodly. And so Paul is saying that just at the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. He goes on to say this. He says, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, a good person, a solid person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. We'd all agree with that. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. God demonstrates something for us, and he's letting us know that his love is a different kind of love. Because we're not for sure we would even die for a righteous person, and definitely not for an unrighteous person. But what Paul is saying is God does something. He doesn't say something, he demonstrates something. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies of God, while we were against God, I'm going to show this to you in a moment, Christ died for us. So he didn't die for me on my best day. Okay? He died for me while I was a sinner. And now Paul, what he's going to do is he's going to explain what he is talking about here, okay? So he goes on to say this, therefore, in light of what I just said, okay, here's what he says, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all have sinned. Now, he says, just as sin entered the world through one man. Who's that man? That man is Adam, okay? That man is Adam. He's the first being that God ever created, okay? And so he created Adam in the image of God. But what this is telling us is Adam sinned. And because he sinned, it affects everybody because we all come from Adam, okay? Genesis tells us this. Genesis says, when Adam lived 130 years, he had a son, not in God's image, in his own likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth. So here's what you need to understand, okay? Let's say that this right here is mankind, okay? So this is you, this is me, okay? For me, this is Patty, this is Caleb, this is Sarah, this is Nate, this is Jonathan, and this is Benjamin, okay? This is Mother Teresa. This is Billy Graham. This is your favorite grandpa. Get the picture? You see, what happens is we were all born in Adam. And because of that, what happens is we're born into sin. Sin. That means that we're born with a nature bent towards doing that which is wrong. That is wrong. And so that's what we have to understand. You're not alone. We're all born into Adam. We're all born into Adam. Mother Teresa is. Billy Graham is. So you're not alone, okay? He goes on to say this. He says, but the gift is not like the trespass. What's the gift? We're going to find out here in a moment. The gift is salvation. The gift is the forgiveness of sin through the person of Jesus Christ. And so he says here, but the gift is not like the trespass. What's the trespass? The trespass is the sin that Adam committed when he acted independently from God. And so Paul goes on to say, but the gift is not like the trespass, for if the many died by the trespass, Adam's sin, of one man, how much more did God's grace and gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to many. Wow. Get this picture? In Adam, we're born into sin. Okay? There was a second Adam that came. His name was Jesus. Okay? His name was Jesus. And what this says here is for if many died by the trespass and sin equals death, okay, For if many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus, overflow to many? And so here's what God wants to happen in your life and in my life. What he wants is he wants for you and me and all people to transfer from Adam to Jesus. Okay? To be in Jesus, no longer in Adam. Everybody understand that? And so Dwight, Patty, Billy Graham, Mother Teresa, you, all of your family members, he wants us to be in Jesus. And Paul goes on to describe this. He says, nor can the gift of God be compared to the result of one man's sin. He's saying that this is Adam. It's sin. It leads to death. It doesn't even come close to what God does for you and me in Jesus Christ. He says, with the result of one man's sin, the judgment that followed one man's sin brought what? Condemnation. You ever feel condemned? You ever feel guilty? You ever feel ashamed? Yeah, it comes from this one man named Adam. See, here's what you need to understand. It's not because of your sins as a verb. It's because of sin, a noun. You were born into sin. I was born into sin. And the reason why we sin is because we have a sin nature. Our bent is towards sinning. Now, when you come and you are in Christ, you have a desire to do that which is right, not that which is wrong. Follow me? So look at what Paul says. But the gift followed many trespasses and brought what? Justification. See, here's what happens, okay? The gift, what's the gift? The gift is Jesus Christ. When we accept him and we experience his forgiveness and his spirit, what happens is he justifies us. That means that is just as if we never sinned. You see, Adam sinned. Adam missed the mark. Jesus hit the mark. And this is why you and I are called to go from Adam to go to Jesus. He goes on to say this, for if by the trespass of one man, Adam, okay, death reigned throughout that one man, okay, sin equals death, okay, and it reigns in every human being, okay. He says, for if by the trespass of one man, talking about Adam, death reigned through that one man. He goes on to say this, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness, that's Jesus, reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. He says, so how do you do this? Well, you accept Jesus Christ as the gift. And you allow him to reign in your life. You allow him to take control of your life. And in doing so, what happens is you're able to live the life that God first intended for all mankind to know and to experience. He goes on to say this, consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation, that's Adam, okay? He says here, so one righteous act resulted in justification. That means that we're made right and life for all people. What's he talking about here? He's talking about that one righteous act. What was that one righteous act? It was when Jesus Christ died on a cross for your sins and my sins. For the sin of Adam. And so what he is saying here, just like death comes through Adam, we're all born into that. What he says here is life is given through one man, and that is Jesus Christ. He finishes up with this. He says, for just as through the disobedience of one man, many were made sinners. You're not a sinner because you sin. You're a sinner because you were born into sin. Okay? So also through the obedience, Jesus dying on the cross of one man, the many will be made what? Righteous. Will be made right. In what? The eyes of God. The eyes of God. Now, Paul just sums this up when he writes back to the church in Corinth. And here's what he says in the church of Corinth, okay? He says this. He says, as in Adam, all what? Die. We just walked through that, okay? So in Christ, all shall be made what? Alive. Alive. So here's what happens. In Adam, we die. But in Jesus, we live. And we live forever. Now here's what you need to understand. Jesus didn't come and die for sin, for the sin of the world, so that you can die and go to heaven only. Okay? He died so that you could live an incredible life right here and now. But you got to deal with the problem. And the problem is sin, that we were born in Adam. Okay? Nobody ever had to teach me how to lie or steal or disobey. Right? If you don't think it comes natural, okay, what you ought to do is sign up for the toddler class. Because what happens is when we're born, you know what we do? Oh, isn't she so cute? Oh, isn't he so cute? And then after a few years, you know what we say? What happened to him? What is going on in their life? Right here. They were born in Adam. They're like their daddy. They have that bent towards sinning. And that's why we're all called to be born again in Jesus Christ. Now, here's what I want you to understand. When Adam sinned, there were things that were lost. And I want to help you with those. Okay? Because this is the way in which you begin the path towards detoxing your emotions, your spirit, and your mind, okay? So what was lost? Let me tell you what was lost. Adam lost spiritual life. And what I mean by spiritual life is he lost his spiritual connection to God. It was done with. Boom, when he sinned. And when he lost his spiritual life, when he lost his connection with God, here's what happened. He lost significance. He lost security. He lost acceptance. We've talked a whole lot about that. And so what happens is when we're born into Adam, what happens is we pursue significance, security, and acceptance. And what we're going to find out is when we pursue those things and we're still in Adam, we become addicts. And it ends up destroying our lives. And so the first thing that Adam lost was spiritual life. The second thing was the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. And the knowledge of God is the wisdom of God. To really know God and to be able to understand him and what he desires for us. But it was more than just the knowledge of God. And you say, how do you know that he lost the knowledge of God? Because he tried to hide from God. Which would let us know that he didn't know God very well. He didn't know that God was omnipresent. He was everywhere. And then the third thing that Adam lost was emotional health. Okay? Emotional health. He lost that. You say, how do you know that? Because when God went looking for Adam and Eve, he said, I was afraid. That's why I hid. And so he lost emotional health. And so now we experience negative emotions. We experience fear and anxiousness. We're fearful and we're anxious, right? I mean, have you ever... I just want you to know I battle anxiety. I just want you to know that I battle fear, okay? That comes from Adam, okay? How about this? Guilt and shame. That's another negative emotion. Because what happens is, why did you hide? Because we felt ashamed. We were naked. And then weak and powerless. That's another emotion that we experience, a negative emotion of weak and powerless. And then depressed and angry. Would you say that We as a society, as a world, battle depression and anger? Absolutely. And so what happens is when we're born into Adam, we're born with a disconnect from God. And we don't even know who God is. And we experience negative emotions such as fear and anxiousness and guilt and shame and weak and powerless. We don't feel that we can do anything. Who am I? We lack confidence. We lack courage. And we're depressed and we're angry. But Jesus came to restore, okay? This is what Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 5. He says, but through one man, this gift was given to us that restores all of this. And so what did Jesus restore? Well, he restored significance. He gave us spiritual life of where we could reconnect with the Father. And that now what happens is we don't have to perform for significance. He has called us significance. We have a purpose in life. We have meaning in life. We have security in life because he promises now to meet all of our needs. And we have acceptance in our life. We have acceptance in our life because he who knows you best loves you most. And see, Jesus came to restore all of that which was lost through Adam. And so Paul tells us that through one man, Adam, sin entered the world. That's the bad news. The good news is there was another man. His name was Jesus. And through his act of obedience, he has justified, he has restored everything that Adam lost. Now here's what John says, disciple of Christ, a friend of Paul's. Here's what he said. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and life to the fullest. Not just forgiveness of sins, not just forgiveness of sins, but to be able to truly experience life and life to the fullest. But we still have an enemy, and that enemy is Satan, and he wants to keep you from living the life that God has restored for you and me. And the way in which he does that is by developing strongholds in your life and my life. This is toxin, okay? And this is what we're going to deal with for the next 5 weeks. And let me explain to you what a stronghold is. It is this right here, a mindset, a value system, a thought process that doesn't allow you to reach and realize your full potential in Jesus Christ. That's what a stronghold is. And you say, Dwight, I still don't understand what a stronghold is. Let me help you with that, okay? It's this. It's stubborn. If there's something in your life that you can't conquer, it's just stubborn. I got this stubborn habit. Okay, I talk too much. I criticize too much. I whatever. That's a stronghold. Another one is irrational. It's just irrational. This doesn't make sense. I don't know why I do what I do. That will let you know that you have a stronghold in your life. Or it's uncontrollable. It's just uncontrollable. I can't do anything about it. I've tried and tried and tried. I've tried willpower. I've read all the self-help books. I've done all of that, and I can't conquer it. Or this. It's just counterproductive. It's just counterproductive. It's just not serving you well. It's causing you to lose friendships. It's causing you to lose a connection with your spouse or your family members. Or it's causing you to lose a job. Those are all strongholds. They're stubborn. They're irrational. They're uncontrollable. They're counterproductive. And here's what I want you to get, and then we're going to finish up. But this is what we're going to be dealing with in the next several weeks. They express themselves through four different areas. One is explosive temper. If you've got an explosive temper, you know what? You've got a stronghold in your life. You need to detox that. You need to deal with that. Or a fragile self-image, criticism. Or you're easily offended. It just wrecks your world. That's a stronghold. Or this one right here, an uncontrollable appetite for alcohol, for food, to please people. That's a stronghold. Or this right here, a distrust of authority. A distrust of authority. You see, all of these right here are signs, if they're going on in my life, that I have strongholds, that really I'm not experiencing everything that Jesus has restored for me. And what happens is I'm not living fully in Christ. You see, here's what Jesus would say. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. Here's how I want to explain it to you, okay? This is me. Here's how many of us live our life when we accept Jesus Christ. We add him to our life. How's that working for you? It's frustrating. And what he says here, if you remain in me, you will bear what? Fruit, significance, acceptance, security. You see, what happens is this. Would you say that this is enough to quench your thirst? At least push against your kidney? Huh? Sure. So what happens is this. I get a little bit, but I can't hold it. You know why? Because I got strongholds in my life that tear it away. And you say, Dwight, you're making a mess. That's what we do when we have strongholds in our life. We make a mess for people. We make a mess for our spouse. We make a mess for our kids. We make a mess at work. We make a mess all around us. But what we're learning here today is the key is that I have to be in Jesus. And when I'm in Jesus, guess what? Y'all okay? I'm enjoying what? Life. You see, listen, and then I'm done. If you've accepted Jesus Christ and his forgiveness, and now you're thinking that you have to do a whole bunch of stuff for him, you're wrong. You're wrong. You'll never be able to do it. You'll never be able to do it. You see, what happens is accepting yourself of who Jesus Christ is and saying, you know what? I'm going to live in him. And that's what he wants from each and every one of us. And this is the starting point to detoxing your life from all that wants to hold you back and all that wants to destroy you. And so I trust that you will join us as we continue down this path. And that today, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, that you will. And if you have, that you'll go from living this way to living this way. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you today for who you are. And I just pray that you would be with each and every one of us. I pray that if there are those who do not know your forgiveness, that today we would say, God, because of your gift and the person of Jesus Christ, I ask you into my life to forgive me of my sins. And if we are here today, and maybe we've already made that commitment, but what we've been trying to do is to do our best to be like Jesus and to do what he wants us to do, may we realize that we'll always live a frustrated life, that you've called us to live in you. And it's living in you and you living through us that enables us to experience life and life to the fullest. And it's in Jesus' name that we give thanks. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media and don't forget to download our app. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.